I can say that openly now.
Oh, me
that
too.
70-year-old man has an amazing body.
I'm gonna say
that's
that
how
every
we're starting
day.
The podcast off with that quote. Hey, before I forget, I want to give credit where credit's due. Our background music tonight, we played the Cemetery Surfers last week on the show. We did our favorite song by them, which was Reanimator, and tonight we're also using some of their music for our background as we do our little intro here. Man, we got a big show tonight. I know I say that a lot, but it's almost always true, especially tonight.
Yeah.
We got like a lot of meat and a lot of potatoes on the show. We've even got like the side salad and dessert.
This is and a full, even a couple of beers.
And an appetizer, like fried pickles or something.
Hey, that's good. I like pickles.
You like fried pickles?
I do.
I've had them at places that it was good and places that it was bad.
Speaking of pickles, you know those pickles we bought the other night?
And ate the whole jar?
Yeah, I bought another jar of those today.
And ate the whole thing?
Not yet. They're about half gone.
Oh, okay. Here we go, talking about food right off the bat.
Yep.
We don't have to do a long intro because we had the great pleasure of having Mr. Jameson in the studio from Green River Killers. He sat down with us. We hung out for a while, and we had just a blasty blast. We were talking about everything, and in typical Kill Pop Culture fashion, I finally just had to reach over and hit record because like we were wasting a lot of good podcast material. And we weren't recording because we were just talking about stuff we would talk about on the show, but we were just talking about it. And I was like, "Hey, let's record this."
One of these days, we're going to learn not to waste that film.
Well, you know, it's kind of weird. I don't want to be awkward and just like, "Hey, how you doing? By the way, we're recording when you walk in the room."
Right, but two at the same
I want to give them a minute.
Two at the same time, not everybody comes in the door and can just carry on the kind of conversations, you know, that stuff worthy of being on the podcast right off the bat. I mean, some people you got to build up, kind of coax them into.
Yeah. We have a lot of lost episodes, like the other night. It was like really, really late. We'd had a few beers and we had like this long, you and I had this long discussion about Batman and Superman and
how mentally
broken each character is.
Right.
How horrible they are as human beings.
Yeah. I mean, we literally went into kind of a
and how much we love them.
Yeah, a dissection mode. Speaking of love them, I'm here, high top,
the first floor, only floor
of Kill J headquarters, wearing my Superman pajamas.
Yeah. You really are.
I really am. I literally am. It's kind of late right now.
Yeah, it is really late. But like I said, I did this in three stages. The interview that had a natural three stage flow because first we start out talking about wrestling, then we talk about Green River Killers, and then the third and final segment we talk about all the other projects that he has going on.
Yeah,
we do a lot of BS in between. But anyway, it was a great fun time. Let's just get right to it. Is there any announcements? Obviously, Tupelo Comic Con coming up quick. It's going to be April the 1st and 2nd.
Right. Railroad Festival's weekend right after.
April 7th and 8th.
Still doing two more weeks worth of drawings for the Comic Con tickets.
Yep.
So
we're going to get that raffle going really soon that I keep talking about. It's going to be live this week because my plan is, and I haven't told anybody this until right now, I want to give away the guitar that we're doing the raffle for at the Railroad Festival from the second stage.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. Because I think we could sell a lot of tickets at the Railroad Festival for the drawing, and it's for a really good cause.
Yeah, that's true. And also, we've still got the Shannon Byers book giveaway that's...
Yeah, as soon as we get past Comic-Con, we're going to be hitting that really heavy. We're waiting on. So don't forget about that either. Email us, and in the subject line, just put book, and we'll put you in the drawing for a copy of How Not to Be a Ghost Hunter by Shannon Byers. Anything else? Oh, dude, I almost hate to mention this. Not that I'll hate to mention it, but it's like we didn't do enough of a build-up for it because it hit me by surprise. I got an email from Podomatic and they're like, happy second birthday. This is actually Kill Pop Culture's second birthday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's true.
I can't believe we've been doing this 2 years. Most people didn't think it would last 2 minutes.
2 weeks, you know?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like, oh, there'll be a one and done.
So, yeah, thank you guys for helping keeping us going.
Yeah, really. Again, I say this almost too much, but I'm really shocked at the amount of response that we're getting, and I'm humbled by it and very appreciative. People stop me all the time. Like, nobody even asks about Kill J anymore. It's just like, hey, man, I heard the podcast. I heard so-and-so was on there. I heard this. I heard that. And I'm out and about different places, and people that kind of surprise me at times. Like, I'm like, really? You listen to the show?
Yeah.
I'm like, huh, I wouldn't have thought it, but I'm always surprised by it. I'm always humbled by it. Things are going really well for us. We're really, really busy. In fact, I've given this a lot of thought, and if we continue to grow like we're growing, we are going to try to figure out how to maybe bring in an intern to use for audio editing. I would like to maybe, like, and I would want to do a full-blown internship, like legit.
Yeah.
One that they could use towards their hours if they wanted to go into this field. They could use it for resume, portfolio purposes, letter of recommendation, the whole nine yards. But we would bring somebody in and train them on how to edit the shows, because that's what takes me the longest, even though I've gotten really good at it, like, as far as speed wise.
Yeah.
You know how you do something, the longer you do it, it's more second nature.
Yeah. And you do
it.
But
that's what trips me up the most, is slows me down and cranking out episodes, is the editing. And this week's been busy because we've had a lot of content coming in this week, and I spent the whole day editing today, like literally off and on the whole day. I had my laptop in my room and sitting in my lap, and I got like a little wireless mouse that I had up on the armrest of the chair, and I was just, had my earbuds in. I was in the zone, man.
Right.
But I'm really enjoying it. But that's the biggest thing that's slowing us down, I think, is if I could just give somebody all of our raw files, have them edit them and send them back to me, and I put the show together, that would be epic. So that's something I'm going to look into if we continue to grow like we are. You know, I'm a logical person. I believe in supply and demand, and there's a demand, so I want to keep the supply up, you know. So anyway, let's jump into this interview, man. Let's just dive in.
Yeah, go for it.
Head first. Belly flopper.
Cannonball.
Can opener. You remember the can opener?
Hey, you remember the toothpick where you just straight shot down?
Well, see, I've never been able to do a toothpick because I'm not shaped like one in any way. I can do the light bulb, the upside down light bulb.
Was that reference toward my head?
Yes.
My head's a light bulb shape.
I can tell when you've got an idea, it shines.
No, we were talking about just the shape of my head. It looks like a light bulb.
Yeah, that too.
Just the light's never on.
And nobody's home.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pop Culture.
Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
If we're going to talk about this stuff, let's record it. This is good podcast material.
Definitely, definitely want to talk about this.
Oh, yeah, go ahead with what you were saying as far as Mania.
Well, my biggest thing for like WrestleMania is, I feel like Kevin Owens should have been like a mainstay for WrestleMania. I don't understand why the main event's going to be Lesnar and Goldberg, which I know people are cool with that. And I mean, I'm fine with that too. It's just the fact that it's Lesnar and Goldberg for the title. I'm not dissing on Lesnar. I swear to God, that guy could whip my ass. But how many fucking times is he going to get it? They're going to turn him into John Cena. Like, I got mad respect for John Cena, but come on, man. how many smiles you got to make before you turn heel?
One thing that I was just wondering, and I know, like, I listen to Talk is Jericho, Chris Jericho's podcast, yep. And he makes a good point. He's always like, you know, people like us that are fans of wrestling, sometimes we make the mistake of trying to make sense of wrestling, and you can't make sense of it. But there's no, like, reason, or there's no story for – there's no reason Lesnar should have the strap right now, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not helping get him over.
Yeah.
I mean, he's as over as he's ever going to be.
He's as over as he's going
to
be.
So, I mean, are they doing it to elevate the title? Is he a placeholder? Like,
yeah.
I just don't see the benefit, downfield
really,
advantage
yeah.
of him.
I thought – I don't know, which at the same time when Triple H came back, I think it was it Royal Rumble and took it from Roman Reigns. Two reasons I like that. Triple H is my favorite and Roman Reigns is the worst. I hate that guy. And yes, I hate his existence with everything that is in me.
His existence.
Oh my God! I despise him breathing.
And, you know, that's my thing about, and I fuss about it all the time, like every week. It's like WWE just wants to force Roman Reigns down our throats, and it's just do something different with him.
Yeah,
you know,
if they would turn him heel,
yeah,
he'd be fine. Cena same way,
right?
It'd be if John Cena turned heel, obviously it would crush a lot of kids' souls. Yeah. But, you know, it crushed a lot of people when Hulk Hogan joined the NWO.
That is exactly what I was fixing to say.
Yeah.
Man, the most epic thing that happened during wrestling, arguably, is when the NWO was created.
That leg drop did it all.
Yeah, the leg drop heard around the world.
Like, yep.
And they... That was a bold move to turn Hulk Hogan, like the everybody's favorite wrestler,
the Hulkster.
And look how over it was. I mean,
why
not do that with Cena? You could do a modern day version of
that. Yeah, and look what it would do. Like Hogan going heel out of nowhere, that pushed WCW to the forefront of the Monday Night War.
Absolutely. I mean, that's when, like I said, that's when NWO was born.
Everybody loves.
And people still wear NWO shirts today,
yeah.
And that was, what, 1990?
Yeah, my brother still has one. Everybody, you know, loves a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, the villain. That's you've always got that.
Which my wife gives me shit all the time because she likes the faces and I like the heels. I like Kevin Owens. I really like Kevin Owens with Chris Jericho. And a lot of people don't right now, but I loved the whole list thing.
Yeah,
this is the list.
Yeah, that's great. I'm hoping they're going to continue that. I know Jericho's going back on tour after Mania, but I hope, because I'm assuming he's turning face now since Owens turned on him, so they'll probably...
Yeah, that's what I was fixing to say. I'm
from
interested.
Now to Mania, he'll probably be getting cheered, which he gets cheered anyway because he's Chris Jericho.
He's Chris Jericho.
I'm interested to see what that turn of events is going to be between, you know, the build-up between Owens and Jericho now. Yeah. One thing I'm kind of... Me and Mark were talking about this earlier that we're kind of iffy about is this whole Undertaker-Roman Reigns thing that happened last week.
Yeah, which... I'll state it probably 30 more times. Even when we're not talking about wrestling, I fucking hate Roman Reigns. And
hey,
to be honest with you, I feel like they're... I've got a lot of respect for The Undertaker. He's the fucking Undertaker. But I feel like they're just kind of dragging him through the mud. You know, I mean, the Bray Wyatt match that he had last year, maybe the year before, I can't remember... That was a decent match because I like Bray Wyatt. He's really talented. But what's the fucking purpose of Roman Reigns and The Undertaker? That serves no purpose.
Yeah. Jern reminded me earlier because I had forgotten because they're not using this as part of anything. But he did eliminate The Undertaker. But that's not really enough of a reason to like.
Yeah. That's
to
that's
rest
insane.
Him in peace.
Yeah. If anything, they should have let Goldberg beat all these people and then let him face The Undertaker at Mania. Because you're like, is Goldberg going to win or is Undertaker going to win? Because now, you know, Taker's streak was broken, but you know nobody else is going to beat him.
What did you think about that? Do you think that was a good thing or a bad thing, like, as a fan? Not as, like, for the company, but, like, what did you feel about the breaking of the streak?
I felt... I was cool with it just because I felt like it was time. If they would have left it unbeaten, That'd have been cool too. That's just like a legacy kind of thing. But at the same time, it's not like it hurt him that much. Lesnar doing it, I was okay with it and not okay with it. I thought it should have been somebody that's been with the company for a lot longer, because I'm a fanboy for Triple H and people like that.
Talk like a thumb when he actually
exactly, you know, a guy that can at least talk for himself. Yeah. You know, but at the same time, when you look at Lesnar, he's terrifying. Whether he's flexing his traps or he's smiling and showing you his teeth, he's just terrifying. So I'm cool with it. I know that one guy that everybody made memes about, the guy on the floor. Yeah, that guy was just, I think he probably like jumped off a bridge that night.
But I'm curious to know the real reason. Like I know the Undertaker's not really cared whether or not the streak ends for a long time. In fact, he asked Kane to end the streak
and
he said no.
I know I read something where Lesnar was talking about it, and Lesnar felt kind of fucked up about it. Like he didn't want to be the one to end it himself, which I'm mad props Lesnar. That's cool. He also listens to Metallica.
Yeah, it seems
like
he's really cool about
cool.
letting people get over on him. I mean, and he comes from a world of, you know, real fighting.
Yeah.
Where you're really punching people in the face.
Yeah.
And
he's cool
and
with
he's
it.
Cool with letting, you know, doing what's best for business.
Yeah.
Like, he was down with Goldberg squashing.
Yeah. Which is like, crazy. Wow. I would have been like, nah, dude, you know, at least let me hit the guy. You know, but at the same time, if I was getting paid what Brock Lesnar probably gets paid, you could whip my ass.
That's true. I mean, what is it, like $5 million for like 10 appearances or something crazy?
Well, you know,
I think it's more than 10, but.
You know, one thing that WWE has a habit of is they always try to have some kind of streak for somebody. Like we were talking the other night, Charlotte's streak, her pay-per-view streak, it ended, you know. So who's going to be next? What's going to be the next big deal?
Yeah, it looks like there'd be money in the streak. I mean, there's DVDs out. There's a DVD out called The Streak. And I think 30-0 would have looked really good on a T-shirt. I would have bought one.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, maybe, you know, they keep talking about retiring for The Undertaker every year, which I've got a whole thing on that. If you're only wrestling once a year, you could probably do the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You got a whole year to get over it. So you might as well just keep going.
You're
going to
be okay, man. I know.
If they were going to retire, I'm 30-0, Hall of Fame. The toll package, boom. That would be a nice, neat little bookend. But
we figured out he was, what, 50, 51?
He's in his 50s.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. In his 50s.
So's Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg's 50 years
old.
Shit.
Yep. Vince
McMahon is 70.
And that's why people were talking crap about Goldberg.
Vince McMahon's body is a lot better than
Vince is huge, man.
Yeah, Vince is kind of a butterface.
Yeah, definitely.
His face is getting old, but like
his body is like getting younger.
Yeah, I was gonna say his body looks incredible, but that might get a little weird.
Hey, man, I'm gonna go ahead and say it, Vince McMahon. If you ever hear this, your body is incredible. Please,
Vince
sign
McMahon,
me.
Your body's a wonderland.
Your body is wonderland.
Just made it weird.
No, man, you just made it real.
I just made it real. But yeah, he like squats 400 pounds and he's 70.
Yeah,
he deadlifts like I don't know a jillion
cars.
Yeah.
I watched a video of Ric Flair squatting, and I was like, dude, that guy's gonna like the whole time he was going down. I was like, no,
get back up.
Don't die. Not on camera, at least.
I don't want to see it.
You guys need to have a sound clip that you randomly play in podcasts. Just woo!
I can dub that in there. One thing we were talking about last week on, you know, how internet has killed kayfabe completely. I think Vince McMahon does just random shit just to throw off dirt sheets. Which, I kind of get it because you don't want to be too predictable. But at the same time, sometimes he just does weird shit like, hey, I think Orton should win the Rumble this year. There's really no reason.
Yeah.
I know they're doing the Wyatt thing now. But
yeah, I was okay with him winning just because I like Randy Orton. But man, there's... If you look at, like, which I know they're bringing people up from NXT and stuff like that, but if you look at NXT, there is so much potential going on right there. And same way with all these newer people. Seth Rollins, if he could stop fucking up his legs.
He does get hurt. He's like Mr. Glass.
Yeah. It's like basically everyone that's new other than Roman Reigns, I'm down with, you know. It's just instead of pushing any of them, we're looking at Goldberg versus Lesnar at another WrestleMania. Maybe they don't get booed out this time. You're looking at, you've got people like Triple H, which I'm cool with, and like I said, he's my favorite, but he shouldn't have such a spotlight all the time, you know? And then you've got Randy Orton winning, who, yet again, I like, but there are so many new people that could carry this on. Like, I hate Dolph Ziggler. I hate the guy. But the fact that he had to struggle with The Miz for so long is bullshit. Because Dolph Ziggler's good, man. He's good. I hate him, but he's good.
We're going to I got to go get another beer, but we're going to transition out of the – I definitely wanted to touch on wrestling since you're a big wrestling fan. It's Monday Night Raw. We're going to check it out here shortly. But it's WrestleMania season, and I think it's important to talk to people about wrestling, even though – I don't know if our listeners like wrestling or not. They should.
They do now.
They do now. We fixed it. Cool. We're gonna talk more about your. We're gonna get to talking about your album and everything the Green River Killers has going on. After I take a break and grab a beer real quick.
Peace.
Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.
All right, and we're back. I could talk about wrestling with you all night, and I probably will. The night is young. But I definitely want to talk about this CD that I have in my hand right now that comes out, in a couple weeks?
It's actually a week from today.
A week from
today. On the 20th, yeah.
It's called Major Greenage. Tell me about this album, man. Where did y'all record it at?
Well, in a few different places. Every band wants to go to a great studio. But with us having tour coming up and having to get merch and all this kind of shit, we just decided to record it at our houses. And we recorded the drums, guitars, and some of the vocals at our drummer Zach's house. We did a few vocal takes and guitar takes at my apartment that I lived in at the time, and then we did the song Killing Me. We did the vocals of it in Adam, our bass player's apartment. So our neighbors were pissed.
They'll get over it. That's what neighbors That's right. do. What's the songwriting process like for you guys?
Well, going into this record, Zach and Adam both joined the band after we had already kind of got going. We were under a different name with a couple other guys. And the drummer at the time, he bounced. It just wasn't fast enough for him. He's my best friend, so I totally understood it. And then our bass player at the time, Jed, he got offered a spot in Roses on Red. And, you know, that was cool. You know, we were cool with that. And we still talk to the dude all the time.
I think the first time I interviewed you guys was at Iuka.
Yep. It's like Jed's last gig, wasn't it?
And it was his last gig.
Yep.
And I did an interview with all you guys.
Yep. And we had a few songs done that we carried on for GRK, because that's when we changed the name and everything. But when I got Zach and Adam in the band, Zach had a lot of ideas that he would present. You know, he would send us videos of drum beats and shit like that. And then Adam, man, that guy was sending me bass licks, banjo licks, guitar licks, you name it. Like, he tops me in every musical aspect. Adam, if you ever hear this, I don't know what I would do without you. I love you. Call me. But please. But usually the songwriting process, one of us will either come up with a beat or a riff and send it to each other. Recently, it's just been me making songs, sending the songs to them after I record them, and then them adding their own things and sending them back, or them doing the same process and sending it to me.
So what's your plan a week from now when the album comes out? Are y'all going to go back on the road to support it? Or
yeah, I don't know exactly when the next tour is going to be, because we just got off tour. It might be a month ago now. We went out with Sun Raider, our friends from Florence. But next Monday, or Monday, the 20th, when it drops, we're actually playing in Florence. Bobby, the guitarist of Sun Raider, at his house, he built this building, basically, that he can have gigs in, because there's not really much of a venue there. So he just does all-ages free gigs there, just BYOB kind of shit. And he lets just touring bands that have nowhere to play, they can play there for free, and just whatever donations are made or whatever just goes to them.
Cool. I wish more people did that, because in this day and age, it's hard to open a venue.
Yeah.
But if you did something like that, you got a lot, I guess you'd have less overhead.
Yeah. Well, like with him, it's on his land. All the surrounding land that people live in, I think he owns that too. So he kind of gets to do what he does. Yeah. So it kind of works out, and it's a cool little place. It's spacious. He's putting up, he's making it soundproof, or at least as much noise canceling as he can do. And it's insulated. So we used to play in garages and shit, so it's a lot better.
What does a typical tour look like for you guys? Do you go all over the Southeast or all
over
the
country? Really, wherever will book us that's in somewhat of a decent driving distance. The last tour we did, man, it was spread out. We started in Huntsville, Alabama on a Friday night. And then the next gig was St. Louis.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it was – and the thing about this tour that we just got off of, it wasn't very long. Might have been 10 or 11 days maybe. And I forget how many thousands of miles we covered, because we went it was Huntsville. And then the next night was there was a hop-on gig in Indiana, Evansville, Indiana, and then St. Louis twice, maybe Wichita, Kansas. No, it was Topeka, Kansas, then Wichita, Kansas, then New Orleans, and then Shreveport, so that was backtracking, and then all the way down to, like, Florida, like St. Augustine and everything. But the problem that we ran into was during that week to 2 week span was when all of those storms hit. So the nice weather started that the first night in Huntsville. It was just kind of cold. But then you get to like Indiana and St. Louis, and up until the day that we got there, the cities were shut down because it was iced over. Ice melts, we start driving to Kansas and it's rain. We get to Louisiana, rain, and then between Louisiana and Florida, you know, you're driving through, like, the south of Mississippi. Well, that's the same day that Hattiesburg got hit by the tornado, and then somewhere in Georgia got hit by a tornado, and then we get to Florida, and we rented mopeds, right? And we're awesome. Riding these mopeds. The guys in Sun Raider were ramping these mopeds off of things. And we're getting ready to turn those back in, and it starts raining, and then they start sounding off the tornado sirens for there. I don't know that I want to go out again.
So when you go out on tour like that, I know down here, down south, it plays a lot to do with the kind of crowd you have, as depending on the weather. If you got bad weather, yeah. People don't go out in the rain and stuff much. Is it like that up north too?
Yeah, it was, which at the same time, we're kind of like a no-name band, just kind of getting going. We had some people come to the gigs that knew me from other bands that I had been in and met them, but we would have some gigs, man, that there were a good bit of people there. We would have some gigs that there were no people there, and then there were some gigs that people were there, but for some reason, the local bands wanted to play first at every show. And then after they would play, everybody left.
Took the people with them, yeah.
I know in, we made a joke because for years growing up, we always made this joke at practice. Like, we were in, like, metal bands and stuff. We'd always, like, start our set and at our homes in, like, Alabama, and we would be like, "What's up, Topeka, Kansas?" Well, we finally got to play Topeka, Kansas, so we start, I'm super psyched. "What's up, Topeka, Kansas?" Finally get to say it, and it's real. And literally, everyone that was on the floor walked up the stairs and started playing pool until both of our bands were done. And we kept, you know, begging them, you know, "Come down, you know, we'll give you a dollar. Not much more, because we don't have much more, but we'll give you something, you know, free shit, whatever." And they kind of stayed up there, and then one girl was yelling at me, saying I was a terrible singer, and that Adam needed to be the singer, which I agree with. He's better than me, like I said, at most everything. But as soon as the bands get done, they turn on this, like, rap song. And the only thing that this song said was the word shots. It just kept going, "Shot, shot, 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 shot." And, man, it looked like a rave on the floor. So I just kind of packed my stuff up and just sat outside.
It's sad that that is how it has gotten to be. But, I mean, that's just so many places. There's been different places where when I played with Seeking Seven, we had the same kind of story to tell. You know, I mean, it's everywhere. I don't understand it. People's taste in music changed. They're obviously breathing something in the air that we're not breathing.
I know we played one gig in New Orleans. It was before we played. We went on at 9. But before that, from 7 to 9, it was a burlesque show. So there are a lot of people in there for that. I'm walking outside trying to pass out, like, flyers. "Hey, man, come in here. You know, they're showing boobs right now." But after that, "We've got bigger ones. We're out of shape, you know." And there was one band that played because we were like, you know, "We're on tour, blah, blah, blah. If you want, buy merch. If you don't like us, don't. We understand." And then this other band plays, and they're like, "Yeah, we're going on tour next week with Less Than Jake." And I was like, "Man, you're in the wrong place. You're playing with the wrong bands." And after they played, like, everybody left. So it's never, you know, you can never predict it.
Well, you brought up merch. As I said before, when you gave me the CD, I'm a CD guy. Like, and I don't think it's just my age either. And the reason I say that is because I don't see our physical CD sales declining. If we go to a show and we play a good show, we're going to sell a few CDs. Not anything to brag about, but we're going to sell some CDs because they like it and they want to take it home with them. I don't see downloading encroaching on that with us. Do you see a difference at all in CD sales?
Not really. When we would do EPs and stuff, people always want them, which at the same time, we always gave those out for free. Mm-hmm. This is technically the first album that GRK has put out. But I know with my last band, my punk band, we found out that we were on Pirate Bay. And there were 60 seeds and leechers.
Wow.
And I was psyched. I was like, wait a minute.
This is awesome. People are stealing our stuff.
And like one guy was like, "Man, this is bull crap, man. People are stealing our stuff." And I was like, "No, man. That means 60 people around the world like us enough that they're willing to go to jail to steal our shit. I'm down."
Yeah, there's a tipping point in the illegal downloading aspect of it, whereas I can speak for us, like you said, it'd be an honor to get, you know, put out on whatever, because that means people actually want it.
Yeah.
But when you get, like, I guess when you quit your job and do music full time and that's the income you're relying on, I guess it's not as awesome. But from my perspective, I would rather them listen to us for free than not at all.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way. And that, to me, it goes down to, like, whether or not the internet and social media killed music, because a lot of people argue that, and at times I will too.
Napster bad.
Yeah, like Napster bad, Lars Ulrich, you know. But with me, the internet, obviously, you can be like, "Well, I don't want to pay $500 for 2 Metallica tickets. I can just watch it on YouTube." I understand that.
I watched a Metallica concert right here last night in front of
my
computer.
There you go. And that
Sophia,
makes sense.
I think in 2010.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one.
That was the big four one.
The big four. Yeah. That was a great one. What are you doing, Dave Mustaine? crying. But at the same time, like bands like Take Us or you guys or anything like that, like back before the internet, if somebody in, say, I don't know, Egypt wanted to listen to your band, it's going to be a really hard time getting that disc to them. And now all they have to do is find you, boom, right there on social media, click on it, and it's there. And if they really like your stuff, they're probably going to buy something. It might not be the CD if they torrented it, but they might get a shirt, they might get, I don't know, whatever you got, you know?
Yeah, there's a good argument to be made about the whole, you know, music industry changing because of downloading, if it was a good thing or a bad thing. I see both sides of it. Mm-hmm. I do see where it forced them to change, but maybe they were, I think there was a lot of greedy bastards in the music business.
Yeah, definitely.
And they were getting rich and fat, and they were not giving a shit about the bands anymore. So in a way, I'm glad they were forced to change, but yeah. In another way, I think it destroyed our ability to generate icons like Metallica.
Yeah.
There'll probably be, you know, 10 more Metallicas that we'll never hear of because nobody's putting money in them, and
exactly.
They can afford to do it themselves. So there's a gap between, like, club-level bands that are going and playing, like, you know, being
yeah.
full-time musicians, but then there's this huge gap between them and, like, Aerosmith and
yeah.
Metallica and Guns N' Roses.
I don't know
and
that don't there know will ever be...
I don't know what's going to fill that gap, because once Metallica...
is gone.
Type bands
yeah.
are gone and they retire. Who's going to step up?
Who's going to step up
and
yeah.
sell out like stadiums and arenas? And I don't know. That's it's kind of a
yeah.
It's an interesting time to be a musician. It's good in a lot of ways and it's very terrifying in
yeah,
a lot of ways.
Like it's extremely hard now to get somebody just to listen to your stuff, man. Like a lot of people now, are like, hey, you want this free CD? And they'll just look at no. I don't.
Yeah.
All right, man.
My
that's
pockets
cool.
aren't big enough, man.
Please don't punch me in the face. That's why we need to bring back JNCOs. You bring back JNCO jeans, you can fit everything in your pockets.
Right. The little side thing.
Yeah. Those mammoths, man. You can fit a child in there. I'm not saying you should steal
I'm
a
not
child.
Saying you should,
but I'm
but
saying
you
if
could.
You wanted to, you could totally get away with it.
Awesome. Yeah, like I said, to me, I like to collect things. And MP3s are awesome, don't get me wrong. Like, it's really convenient to have it on your phone where you can listen to if you're, you know, at work or driving in the car or what have you. But I like to hold it in my hands. I like to, you know, when you handed me that CD, the first thing I did, I opened it. I looked at the liner notes. Checked out the mm-hmm. disc, and then I read all the stuff on it and looked at the artwork. And I like to hold it in my hands and check it out. You know, the smell, like everything about the...
You give it to him and he's like, ooh, a piece of candy.
Yeah, like I said, I get that people want the digital stuff, and I do too, but I don't think CDs are ever going to go away.
No. They might evolve to some extent. I don't know. But I feel like actually having something like physical is... It's something more. It means something more. It's like with Metallica CDs with me, or like Blink-182 CDs.
You mean
obviously
like,
I've got everything.
Like this?
Yeah, exactly.
CD?
you can get the digital download of that all day, but you cannot hold that guy in your hand. That's basically a novel.
I know. Check that out, man. It's got... I mean, you've probably got a copy too, but like
yep.
all the faces and everything.
And
like
let's take a minute just
like
to say what a great record that is.
Dude.
Metallica brought it.
You know, I call Big Germ, Jeremy Griffin, my uh-huh. my Metallica buddy, because like me and him are always just huge Metallica nerds. And we have, like, if you go through every text message that's gone on back and forth between me and him over the years, like, at least 50% of everything we talk about
yep.
is Metallica. And,
I know
and
it
when
is.
I started hearing the new songs, I think Hardwired and like one other had come out, and I was like, man, what if Metallica had one more classic
one more album in
them,
yeah.
Like, what if, like, that would hold up to, like, you know, Puppets and
yeah.
Lightning, and what if they had one, at least one more? Because I thought Death Magnetic was a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
There were some issues with it that we could talk about all day long.
All day.
And there's even some issues with this one, but I'm not going to bitch about it because I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
It's a home run.
You know, when Saint Anger came out, that was actually like the first Metallica record that I got to buy at like a midnight launch. Really, my mom got me into, let's see, my first concert was Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
So that was pretty heavy. But like, mom kept me into like things like, you know, Journey, you know, REO Speedwagon, stuff like, you know, Bon Jovi, stuff like that. But the first band that I really just fell in love with was Metallica. And I had all their stuff, and then when Saint Anger came out, I was there for the midnight, and I hated it. Like, I hated Saint Anger. To this day, you know, I've got respect for Saint Anger, just because if you listen to some of those riffs, if you can get past the sound, you know, and you just listen, it's got some heavy shit.
Have you listened to the new version that they re-released that's remastered?
No.
Sounds way better.
There's a remastered version of Stanger?
They got the rights back to all their records, and they're re-releasing them.
Oh, baby.
And they're remastering, and I didn't know about it. And I was like, how did I miss this? Because, again, I'm a huge Metallica nerd. I was listening to Spotify, and I heard, like, Sweet Amber or one of those.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, this sounds good. This sounds way better. And, again, I texted Germ. I was like, what's going on? Did they redo something? Because this sounds way better than what he's like. Yeah, I think they've gone back and remastered.
Man, that sounds awesome.
It doesn't fix completely everything, but it sounds like 50% better.
Yeah, they need to put a bottle back in James.
They've remastered, all the old records, the remastered versions, and they say to get the Japanese release for some reason.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember. There's an engineering. Big worded
it's faster.
Reason why. Yeah, it's something about the sound quality is better in a nutshell. But everybody like is buying the Japanese release of the remasters.
You mentioned that about James Hetfield just now, but I put the bottle back. Look, even to this day, the dude's still a freaking beast. I've been trying to learn, you know, some Metallica stuff.
Oh man.
And playing along with the album is bad enough because you know James does everything in a downstroke. But to watch him do it live, like the Sophia video, it's like, this dude's a god.
Yeah.
There's no reason anybody should physically be able to do it.
Like, he's like talking to somebody while he's doing it. Like,
well,
a lot
of people overlook that. You know, with a lot of bands, the rhythm guitar player usually falls behind the lead guitarist. And now, Kirk Hammett has done a lot of great things. The only thing that I have wrong with this album is Kirk. Now he's got some good stuff on the record, but I'm not completely on board with his solos anymore.
They're starting to sound the same.
Yeah, they're starting to sound the same.
He used to write his solos
exactly
on the old records. Now he literally wings it. And he admits he said that.
Yeah,
in
he said it. He wings it all. I know the only thing he's done in like 10 years that I was just completely behind. He wrote and recorded a solo on the newest Exodus album. And he just walked in, he did 3 takes, and they took one of them. And, man, that's one of the best solos I've ever heard from him.
Yeah, it was his original band.
Well, like, we were watching last night out here watching YouTube and stuff. James Hetfield does not get nearly the credit he deserves as far as a guitar player because that dude can shred.
He can shred.
He can do some serious solos.
Yeah. James Hetfield is a riff god. Like, there is no way that I could even come close to being a pubic hair on James Hetfield's body. Like, that is the most awkward metaphor I've ever used, but it is the only one.
Of all the goals in your life.
That, exactly. You heard it here first. I am a pubic hair of James Hetfield. Man, that would be awesome. I'd be getting some royalties. Where's that Sandman money at? Just throw it down here.
Well, we've talked about Metallica and mentioned a couple others. What are some of your musical influences? I know we have the bands we like to listen to, but they don't always influence us, but there's always that core, like, you could probably, name 3 or 5 bands off the top of your head that actually influence what you do as a musician.
With me, there is a slight influence from Metallica and GRK. Not as much as I would like, but there is that little bit. There's a heavy influence from Nirvana. Kurt, you know, that I got so wrapped up in the grunge era, the grunge movement. I'm still kind of wrapped up into it. My wife gives me shit all the time because I still, like, treasure. I've got a Jagstang, and I just worship it. But I get a lot of my inspiration from Kurt just because he was nowhere near the best guitarist, but when the guy played, you didn't necessarily hear it. You kind of felt it. And that's something that drives me. So I would probably say Nirvana, a little bit of Metallica. There's a little bit of like Foo Fighters in there. Like that whole era, like Foo Fighters, Sunny Day Real Estate kind of sound. I get a lot of influence from, at least vocally, I get it from, as bad as it sounds, like Blink 182, because I grew up with Blink.
I like Blink 182.
Now, obviously, I don't sing like them, partially because I can't sing like Mark Hoppus, and I'm not being egotistical, but I'm way better of a singer than Tom DeLonge. Yeah. Cause he kind of yodels, but he's technically not in the band, I guess. I don't know what's going on with that.
What's the guy's name that's in there now?
Matt Skiba from, yeah. Alkaline Trio.
Yep.
Man.
They were doing an album with him, yeah. Aren't they? Or did they?
Yeah, they put out California. And he's, that's right. That's the first one with him.
I haven't heard it.
And the other like influence that's on there for me is probably Alkaline Trio. Cause I like that whole, it's almost like horror punk, but it's more of a poppy punk. So it's like horror pop, I don't know, yeah. Something like that, you know, like Rancid. Most of my background's punk and thrash, so.
I wish you could have been there when Killjay and my old band got to open for the Misfits back in 2007. God. That was a 30th anniversary tour?
I think so.
Yeah, it was a 30th anniversary tour. Great memories happened.
We were talking about that last night, weren't we? Or not before last, about how we were shocked, because I'd heard that Jerry Only was kind of a douche, but he was really nice to us.
He gave us, dude, we were eating like beef jerky back in the green room with him.
He gave us his food.
He gave us pizza and everything. Me and him sat out there before the show. We had to be there at some ungodly hour, like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man.
And we sat, when he got there, me and him sat down at a table and just carried on just a conversation like we're having right now. And he really bragged about his son. And he talked about his, you know, like his machine shop kind of stuff that he does outside of the band. That's what he talked about. I mean, it was just like talking to a normal person. He was not a douche at all whatsoever.
Wow. Yeah, I've always heard that that Jerry Only's kind of a douche. And I always heard that Doyle was like terrifying, which you look at the guy and you're like, you know, to hell with that. I'm not taking his wallet, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't with them during that show.
Well, they were a three-piece then.
But
really, did they have Graves?
No.
Michael Graves.
Jerry was singing.
It was
Jerry.
Dez.
But we've played a couple of shows with Michael Graves.
It was Dez on guitar and Robo on.
That's right, yeah.
I bet that was awesome.
It was. It was pretty good. I mean, Jerry's definitely not my favorite Misfits singer. Obviously, a bass player, he's great, and, you know, great for the Misfits. But I'm not really sold on his voice. I liked Graves, and I liked Danzig both. I'm one of these weird hybrids that liked both. Like, I was the weird kid that listened to Megadeth and Metallica when I was in high school.
Yeah, that's the same way with
and
me.
We're supposed to be fighting, you know?
Now, obviously, I like Metallica way more than Megadeth, but man, you cannot deny the fact that Dave Mustaine.
Dude, the Rest in Peace album that's one of the ones, you know, but people ask you, like, if you're on a desert island the rest of your life, you can take five records. Rest in Peace is going to be the album.
Yeah, man, those licks, man. He writes some killer licks, and he always ends up with great guitarists, Marty Friedman, Chris Broderick. I know I'm skipping like 30 because a guy cannot be friends with anybody.
Right.
I don't know. Who they got now? Nico? Is that his name?
I can't remember his name,
but he shreds hard too. Call me, dude.
I'm glad you got Ellefson. Am I saying that right?
Oh yeah, Dave Ellefson.
The two Daves. To me, that's Megadeth.
Yeah.
Other people have interchanged, and I have my favorite lineups. But as long as you got the two Daves, it feels more like Megadeth and not so much like the Dave Mustaine show.
Dave Mustaine and the Hoodlums.
Right.
What a cool name.
What were we talking about before Megadeth? Oh yeah, Jerry Only. I think a lot of his bad rap comes from the business side. I think he probably is a douche when it comes to business, but when it comes to his fans, he is so accessible. Like he spent like, and not like in an ego worship me way, Just he wanted to make sure he stuck around after the show to meet every single person, do the pictures and autographs.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I think that's really, really cool because he doesn't. And, I mean, at this stage in his career, he's a legend, an icon.
Yeah,
nothing's going to change that. He doesn't have to be that way,
but he does it. That's awesome.
That always, you know, mad respect for that.
Yeah, that's cool as shit.
How long did it take you to do this record? You may have touched on that before. Course of like, from this time you decided, hey, we're gonna do a new record.
Yeah.
To release.
Oh man. Oh shit. Let's see. Well, we had talked about doing the record. Obviously, we knew we needed to put it out. At first, we were talking about an EP, but then we decided, you know, let's just do it, and let's do the full record. It wasn't too long though. It was longer than we had anticipated, but not as long as we were like afraid of, if that makes sense. Like we thought we were going to have it out, in a couple of months. And I think it ended up taking maybe three months. Because after we got like halfway through with it, we were just like, I don't know, man. It might end up taking a year.
You know, a year is not an unrealistic.
Not at all.
It took us 2 years to make the verdict.
Really?
Yeah, well, there were some problems, and I'm always the fourth wall breaking. I have no shame. I'm honest with people. A lot of it had to do with finances.
Yeah.
People don't realize how expensive. I know you guys.
Oh, man.
You did a lot of it yourself, but I mean, you had to pay somebody to replicate it.
We've done you know, records in studios, professional studios and stuff. But man, like doing it ourselves, it was still expensive.
Yes,
like
it was very expensive.
Going to an actual studio, which I've said this to a few people, and I've said it in a couple of interviews, like. When you do it yourself, it's got that raw aspect, which I'm really okay with just because, like, me coming from, like, the punk scene, most bands have raw-sounding stuff. But when you do it in a studio, the sound is, you know, you can't compare it.
Right.
You know, you could put your same song, one that you did at home, and then one that you did in the studio, the same exact song, same everything. And that studio one's going to sound way better.
Yeah.
And to be honest, probably more people are going to like it just because it sounds pristine, I guess.
Yeah.
Somebody just asked me this past week. I can't remember if it was a friend or a relative that was wanting to record some music, and they said, "Where's the best place to go to record music now?" They said because, you know, used to you had these actual big studios,
mm-hmm.
these big commercial buildings you go to and record, and I told him, you know, it's crazy. It's a crazy time in a good way and a bad way. You've got people in their basement with a computer and a little mixing board like that. They can produce a record that sounds great.
Yeah.
And then you've got people with $300,000 worth of equipment that are releasing crap. So
yeah,
it really comes down to the person that's your, I guess, quote unquote engineer.
Yeah.
And because most people produce their own stuff. You don't have like big, you don't have producers.
Yeah.
As like some people say, you know, who produced this album, but what they really mean is they recorded it. So
yeah,
that would be more of an engineer. Whoever you use knows how to work their stuff, they're going to get a good quality out of it. And if
yeah.
they're good songs, they're obviously in a good recording, boom.
That should be all you need.
That should be all you need. But I have heard good songs that were recorded poorly, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that's bad too. So it's a strange time. I don't know what to tell people as far as where to go. I mean, I know I have my recommendations of what I prefer,
mm-hmm.
but some people can't afford to go spend $500 a song. You're doing
yeah.
10 songs. That's like $1 million.
Yeah. It's like
if I did my math right.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure I did.
You did it exactly right.
I thought so.
But, and
I mean,
then after that
like
million, you got to get it pressed, and that's another billion.
Yeah, and if you pay somebody to do the artwork, I mean, there's all these little things
mm-hmm.
that people don't even think about. Just to get registered to iTunes, you have to pay for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's like the first thing we were doing, getting ready to release it. We know that most of our sales are going to be like digital. At least at the beginning, and getting your stuff online, man, for people to purchase is expensive.
Yeah.
Like I'm just not happy about it.
Everybody wants their cut.
I put out a single one time. This is a true story. And I spent more getting it out to where people could buy it than I did, than I made back in a year of selling it.
Wow.
It's insane. I guess that means I need to be better and people would buy it more. But still, I mean, that's just a good example of how
expensive it can
get. The struggle is real. What song was it you said we're going to do? Bridges?
Yeah. Bridges is the single that we've been trying to promote. So I figured that would be a great starting point for it.
Good deal. We're going to spin that here in a second. Now, when you say the album drops in a week, like, where all does it drop? Where can people get a copy of it?
Well, right now you're looking at, obviously at a gig, or iTunes. Man, I had a list that I was going to tell you where you could get it, and now I forgot it. But
Google
a lot
Play,
of the major ones. Yeah, I think so. Google Play. I'm going through, what's it called?
CD Baby, maybe?
No. It was Chug something. Chug something, I don't know. Chug Core, Chug...
Here's the easiest way to do it. Something? Go to Google, type in Green River Killers, Major Greenage.
Boom.
And you will find a way to purchase this album with this song on it called Bridges. Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I can edit it in somehow.
I was just going to say the best way to get a physical copy of this, though, is like he said, come to a show.
Go to the show.
Go to a show. Get out there. Support music.
I woke up this morning to see I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal, from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. All right. I wanted to talk about... Well, first, we were just talking in the break about the fact that we're both going to be at Comic-Con, and I think this segues into some of the other projects you have going on. You guys are going to be there. What are you going to be doing at Tupelo Comic-Con?
Actually, at this one, we're just going to be walking around talking.
Just hanging?
Yeah. Last year, my friend Jonathan and I did a panel at Comic-Con because we have a, like we were talking about, we have a gaming vlog just about video games and shit like that. Oddly enough, the panel, it was us and another guy. His name was Alex Kahn. We still talk to him. He's actually a paid gamer. I think his...
Wait, a what?
Yeah.
Did he get paid for that?
Yeah. It's I think he's Prince of Maston or Maston. The panel that we did was on how to get famous on YouTube. And the irony of the entire thing.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we started it, everybody was like, yeah, the first question, one guy, which I was brutally honest, you know, Jonathan and I had like pep talked each other before, you know, we got to basically walk in and act like you own the place and then people take you serious. But the first question that they asked me, they're like, you. I was like, me. And they're like, how do you get famous on YouTube? And I was like, well, man, ask that guy, because right now we have 40 subscribers,
yeah.
And we are not famous. We had to get credit cards just to pay for all the, you know, all the games we were playing and stuff, which luckily now, you know, we still use our credit cards for games, but we get some for free, but nothing crazy.
So tell us specifically about you just have one channel that you're running?
Yeah. For that, it's called Chest and Quests. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and plug that. You can find us on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook. I think Twitter, but I don't really use it. We have an Instagram, but the only picture on it is, I think, a picture of a Surge can and Five Guys. We eat a lot of Five Guys. We just got the one channel, though, and we kind of like tie everything into it. When Jonathan moved, we added a couple of guys into the group, Scott and our friend Nader. Basically that we could, you know, since Jonathan lives in Arizona, we could have more people to help out. So we had these ideas for things like a show called Dude Yeah, because we say that all the time, like, dude, yeah. It's like an expression, but it's basically just things that we like. So we decided to tie that in. We just left Chest and Quest being the main, you know, the main place for it all. And then we just branched off of that.
And didn't you say that you're fixing to start that back up really soon?
Yeah, we're actually getting it going later tonight, actually. Basically, what we're going to start out with, we did, and we still continue to do, like game reviews, and we've got a green screen that we use, so while one of us is giving the review of the game, on the green screen behind us, we'll just play our game footage while we're playing through it.
Right.
What we decided to do right now, because green screen, man, it's fun, but it sucks. Like, I hate using the green screen. For some reason, the quality of the camera kind of drops with green screen. It's probably just because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But what we decided to do now, I'm terrified of anything that could be considered horror. Like horror games or anything like that. So... most nights when it's late and some people have nothing to do, we're going to start streaming us doing playthroughs of horror games. So we basically made this big checklist of games we needed to pick up. Like, your Silent Hill titles, game called Outlast, Alien Isolation, Dead Space, stuff like that. And we're just going to play through them and try our best not to look like little girls.
What kind of cameras do you use?
When we started out, we used our phones. Mm-hmm. We both had Galaxy
HD
S4s. Phones
nowadays.
Yeah, and we got HD out of the S4. I decided to buy an actual camera. My dad's got a lot of cameras. He's a photographer, but I didn't really want to use one of his because I knew I would break it. So I went to Walmart and I bought a Nikon Coolpix P530. And the Coolpix P530, I think, with a big memory card with it, like an additional one, and the camera itself, it was like $300.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Oh, man. It shoots 1080p. The only downfall to it is it only records in 27-minute segments. So you have to basically, after like 27 minutes, you just have to hit record again.
And it's offload not, your video.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which the space, man, with the extended memory card, like a 64 gig, I think I put our entire tour on that camera without having to dump it. So, I mean, it's pretty legit.
You filmed the tour. Are you planning on doing anything with that, like making a DVD or something?
We had brought out the idea of making a DVD to put out with not necessarily this album, but we've already started writing our second album. And we talked about doing like an EP in between, and with the EP we talked about putting out a DVD with tour footage, but we also talked about putting out like an EP with 5 songs, and then it comes with Major Greenage, but we would re-record this entire album as a folk album.
Huh.
Yeah, Adam's super into folk, and he plays banjo like nobody's business. And we want to capitalize on that.
Oh, so you're being literal when you said he was sending you banjo tracks.
No, he really does. Yeah, we talked about he's got a couple of banjos, and we actually talked about putting a humbucker in it and actually just diming it out and letting him shred on the banjo. That way, whenever people listen to it, I can tell them it's me. Not him.
Well, you know, you said when you first started doing your video, your YouTube channel, you were using your phone. I was going to get one of those super expensive handheld units for like when I'm out and I want to do interviews for the podcast. Come to find out, I can get really good quality interviews just with my phone.
Yeah.
I just hit the voice recorder because it's got a condenser in it.
Yep.
I mean, it's a good quality mic, and I'm like, wow, I've already got it. I don't need one. And
you don't have to buy
it.
And
especially by the time I dump it in the software and do some little tweaks. And
I
use this new plugin that Big Germ told me about that's really awesome because you don't have to know a lot to use it, and I don't know that much about this.
What's the program?
Isotope.
Isotope?
Yeah, the Isotope plugin, yeah.
Like,
they actually have
like
a podcast.
Yeah,
is it like, is it just an isotope, or is it like ozone, or have you ever seen
Nectar.
That?
Nectar. That's what I've got.
Yeah, I've used that. I use when I mix down stuff now, like music, I use Ozone or Ozone 5 or 4. I don't know which one it is. Whichever one I could have afforded at the time. Definitely not a new one.
Jeez. Dude, when we were doing demos for the album we're working on now, I did the vocals for one song, and you can ask Germ. I was depressed. I was like, man, this sucks. My vocals are horrible because I can't record vocals anyway.
Oh man, I suck at it.
Vocals are hard to record, and I couldn't make them sound good. And I was depressed, and I was like rethinking my whole life. And then I used that plug-in, and I was like, hey,
never mind.
All right, this is listenable. Look who's not crying.
I don't know. It might have been Blink-182 that said it in one of their like little recording documentary videos they put out with the self-titled album, but I think it was them, but they said, you never know how shitty of a musician you are until you step into the studio. And those words are the truest, like, Is that even a word? Truest?
It is now.
It is now.
Confirmed.
Like, there's nothing.
Hang on.
There's nothing more accurate. Boom! Nothing more accurate than that. Like, the first time I stepped into a studio, I was like, I've got this, man. My guitar's tuned down. I'm about to shred. And I think I was there trying to play one little lick for 2 days. I think I got kicked out, actually. They're like, dude, you suck. And that was it.
Yeah, and especially if you're like me and you're very critical of yourself, mm-hmm. you want that perfect take.
Drama queen.
I'm not a drama queen, but okay, maybe I'm a little when I'm recording vocals. Because there's very few things that frustrate me to the point of, because I'm a laid back dude and I don't really get mad.
Yeah.
But I will get pissed off doing vocals because it's just, I hate it. I'm getting mad thinking about
it. Mark, basically, the equivalent of that is, you gave him a puppy and then took it back away from him?
I guess, man. It's like when you...
Don't spew your water on me.
Don't spew, man.
I'm a man. I'm drinking water.
Yeah, he always waits till you're taking a big slug of something before he says something funny.
Oh, right.
Which is very rare, anyway.
But singing live to me, I guess I've just done it so long, it doesn't... I'm just not bothered by that at all.
Yeah.
But one thing as a singer... And I'm sure you went through something similar. When you go from the stage to the studio, it's a whole new thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do what you do on stage in the studio.
Yeah.
Because it's such a different experience.
If you put me on stage in front of people, I'm fine. You put me in a small cubicle with one guy looking at me, and I shit the bed. Like, I'm out. I'm tapping out.
Hashtag shit the bed.
Any other projects and anything else you got going on that you want to plug or talk about while you're here?
While I'm at it, my best friend and I, Logan, it's like you were talking about with you and Germ. You're always, I think that was his name. Yeah, Big Germ.
Yeah, Big Germ.
Everything we talk about is Metallica, like. Metallica, everything. We've been in thrash bands together. He was in the punk band that I was in. He started what was the beginning of GRK with me before it was GRK. He was the guy that said it wasn't fast enough. I totally understood. But he and I have been basically writing and recording thrash songs for a while now. With me being a manager at my job and also touring with GRK, there's not really a much of an open space for another band. But if we just kind of put out records, that really, you know, that doesn't take much away from me. Same way with him. He's got a really good job, and we're trying to be really, really picky with who's on the record with us. So we decided just to do the two of us. And we're also into, like, mysteries, conspiracies, murders, stuff like that.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's right.
I love a good conspiracy.
This is Mr. Conspiracy.
Don't even get me started, man. We're gonna have to have part two of this.
Oh man, just I'm so totally
talk,
down.
Talk more about Metallica and conspiracies and Metallica conspiracies. There probably is one.
Yeah, there are tons, actually. I'm not gonna say what I was about to say.
Have they all been replaced by lizard people or
except James.
Except James. They can't figure that one out.
He was the OG.
They don't have an awesome enough lizard person.
That's right. They're like, wow, we just can't get this yet. So we ended up calling the band the Dyatlov Pass. And it's just a range where a lot of people have died and they couldn't explain what happened. They were never... Like, they found a couple of people, I think, with, like, no shoes on, like, in the snow, just dead. And
yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. On I listen to some.
There's a lot more to it than what I'm saying. But
That's yeah. a topic of some of them.
Yeah. And it ended up sounding like, if you listen to, like, Municipal Waste, it sounds like you mixed, like, Municipal Waste and Slayer together. Obviously, we don't have an album yet, but I do have... I brought my hard drive in case you wanted a couple of those.
Yeah, man. Dude, I'm telling you, we're... And I don't mind saying desperate, because obviously, us being in a local band. We wanted to play local music. But it was shocking and sad how quick we ran out. Like,
yeah.
And there's, I hit bands up all the time and say, please send us music. We would much rather promote because, you know, we're all drinking from the same trough here. You know, we're all on the same side. We're trying to get heard, and there's people, believe it or not, actually listen to this. I don't know why. But
that's awesome. Thank you, guys.
We want to promote local music first. That's the priority. So
yeah.
Anything anybody's got, send it.
Send it, yeah.
We'll play it. Even if it's bad, we'll play it.
Yeah, I'm cool.
We played Killjay on here before, so
yeah,
we don't mind playing bad
if
stuff.
If you want to play our stuff, if you want to play the Diet Love stuff, or any of my older bands, if you ever want any of that to play, I'll send it to you, man. You can play it. I don't give a shit.
I mean, I really wanted to do some shows where it's almost like an old school hosted radio broadcast where you only hear from the DJ between songs and just do a whole show of just music.
Yeah.
I don't think I could, and not without repeating a lot of the artists that we've played already, which that's fine too.
Yeah.
But I was alarmed at how quick we ran out of local material to try to find.
So as far as shows go, what shows do y'all have lined up in the near future that people can catch you at?
Right now, we're looking. We don't have that many. With
I'm gonna hit the bell when he says Royal Festival.
That's right. So we've got March 20th, and that's gonna be the CD release show. That's in Florence or Tuscumbia, Alabama. We're gonna, if you'll just follow us on Facebook, and, you know, all those social media things. We're going to be sharing that like crazy. I know in April we have the Railroad Festival. What day is that? Is that the 2nd?
8th.
Or is it the 8th? Okay, the 8th.
Well, it's the 7th. The second stage is the 7th.
I said April 2nd. That's WrestleMania.
Yeah. See, we have a conflict. We're at Comic-Con during WrestleMania, so I've got to try to...
They're cutting out at like 5 o'clock on.
Right, so we'll have a delay, so I'm going to, like, and they don't put it on DirecTV, so we can't DVR it. So, you know, I'm going to have to, like, I don't know, we're going to have to figure that out.
Do you use the network at all?
If we try to watch it the next day,
not much anymore.
If we try to watch it the next day, it's going to be so many spoilers out there.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even get away from it.
That's the biggest, and even the people that aren't trying to spoil it. Like, when you see somebody that you know watches wrestling, and they just say something like, damn it. That's the only thing they say.
You're absolutely right.
You know who won.
Oh, now I know exactly what happened.
Why does Roman Reigns keep winning?
Look, I know we already touched on the conversation about wrestling and stuff in the previous part of the interview, but I honestly wish Mark would write for WWE. He can call so much of this. He is so good at it.
Yeah. I've had people tell me the same thing. They're like, why don't you just write for them? Because you can. If you watch it for long enough, you know what's going to happen.
But you know what's sad? I don't think they want to hear from people like us, even though we know more about their product than they do, obviously.
Yeah.
Judging by some of the decisions that they make.
Yeah.
We would probably do some really good writing if they would just listen, but I don't think they're interested.
Which is why, obviously, they're putting Roman Reigns, trying to build up something with him and Undertaker at this point, I think.
And hey, I'll
because everybody's tired of Roman Reigns. Like, how do you feel about Roman Reigns?
You're going to have to bleep this one out.
Yeah, go ahead.
F*** him.
I don't mind saying this on the air because, I mean, if you diss me, I'm going to just be honest about it. But I hit up, and this is no knock on Bancorp South because they were totally down with it. When WWE came to Bancorp South, I was like, hey, why don't you guys throw us some tickets and we'll give them away on the air. We'll help you promote the show.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Because it's no skin off their back. I mean, they're just giving away some tickets.
Yeah.
And they get free promotion for it. You normally have to pay for that. And he's like, yeah, that sounds great. Let me run it by WWE. Nope.
Really?
Yep. They will not mess with podcasts. They don't want, unless you're TV. If you're a television entity,
they'll
entertain having you. Like, they've got this thing at WrestleMania, I think they call it Radio Row, where it's like this huge, like, circle of just, like, you know, media, but no podcasts.
That's so weird.
They totally diss the podcasts.
I'm trying to think of a reason they would do that, but I can't. Like,
man, I mean, it's like this. here's the great thing about podcasts is obviously since I'm doing one, anybody can do it. That's the good and the bad. Because you've got a bunch of awesome podcasts out there, but you've got a bunch of really bad ones,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and you almost have to, like, sift through them
all. Yeah, there's people that do three shows a day or something.
Man.
Like, I get depressed if we get, like, 50 downloads on an episode.
Oh, I would,
too. Because, we normally average around 100, which, you know, that's great.
That's awesome.
I love that. But I just, if I don't have but five people listen to my show, I just do simple supply and demand math and go, maybe I need to back off doing the shows.
Yeah.
There's people out there that crank out shows all the time and either the audio's terrible or
yeah,
there's no personality. And I'm not trying to be critical.
Yeah.
Because there's some great ones out there, too. I listen to podcasts all the time.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I've got so many now that I listen to that I can't even keep up with them all.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I've had a lot of people ask me why, you know, it's just people talking, and I try to explain it to them. They never understand it. But then I realize it's the same way with me and my wife. My wife watches a lot of vlogs on YouTube, like people just talking about their life, just everyday life. And when she shows it to me, she's super excited, and I feel really bad because I'm just never interested in it. There are a couple. There's a guy named Rob Dyke, which he doesn't really talk about his life, but he talks about, like, murders and unsolved stuff like that. You should really check him out. But, like, when she'll watch these, I'm just like, man, I don't understand it. Who cares if you went to Starbucks today? Who cares what you got at Target? But some people do, so I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, the thing about podcasts is Mark's kind of got me started listening to more podcasts and stuff, too, here lately. People, contrary to popular belief, can still be interesting.
Yeah.
We, on the other hand, just happen to not.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out one day. Yeah, just stick around, people. Come on.
Well, if you'll notice, or at least I hope you notice, because this is what I go for, this isn't like a Q&A type podcast. It's
no.
A conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, hey, what's your name? What's your favorite color? What's your second favorite color? What do you like to do? You know, it's not just a question-answer. We try to have conversations with the people, and if you're a listener, I want you to feel like a fly on the wall. That's because it's the podcast that I like to listen to are the ones where if I say something, I feel like I'm interrupting them because I feel like I'm there. Like I have to be quiet because I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm like, wait a minute, they can't hear me.
They don't know what I'm saying.
I can yell at that guy that just cut me off in traffic without making somebody mad on the podcast.
What is his address?
Yeah, I want people to feel like they're a fly on the wall. And they're listening to this conversation we're having. It's not an interview, so to speak, as it is just us talking
just
to people.
Just talking, being human beings.
Having
man.
Fun, hanging out. And I think it's entertaining. Like I said, I listen to a lot of podcasts like that.
I'm going to be honest. I'm having the time of my life right now. I mean, I don't like what I'm saying because I'm just like, you did not plan for this, Kyle.
The only thing I didn't plan for is having to admit that Vince McMahon has a gorgeous body.
Hey, man.
But I feel like that's a load lifted off my chest, you know, that I can
no
say
pun
that
intended.
Openly now. I can say that openly now.
Oh, me
that
too.
That 70-year-old man has an amazing body.
I'm going to say
that's
that
how
every
we're starting
gig.
The podcast off with that quote.
Vince McMahon's body.
Well, man, I really appreciate you coming by. I know we've kept you over an hour, but
I
love doing
it.
In-studio stuff, man. Phoners are great. They're necessary. Most of the interviews we do are over the phone, but you're from what? You're in the Tupelo area, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, if you're that close, why don't you just come down and hang out with us?
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
Watch wrestling. We'll have a beer. We'll have some fun.
That's
we'll talk
awesome,
about,
man.
We'll talk
I'm
about Vince McMahon's body.
Vince McMahon's body.
We're going to spin another song off of this album. Thanks for bringing us the CDs. Everybody out there listening, you need to go check it out. 1 week from, well, this is going to air probably Wednesday, so you've only got a couple of days to wait before this drops, and again, Google it, iTunes, probably Google Play. But most importantly, like Jern brought up, go to the shows. They're going to be at the Railroad Festival. And you can check them out there.
Peace.
Peace out. Yeah, we gotta be quick like a bunny on this outro because we're sitting at like an hour 30, and I wanted to, as we sign off, I want to do one more song off this album, because you listened to it a lot today while I was editing, and you said you really, really dug it.
Yeah,
I'm really digging what I've heard so far, but I plan on spinning it a lot more for myself here in the coming days, weeks, months, and it's Wednesday now, so this will be out next week. So be sure to check out their new album, and make sure you come check us out Comic-Con, check us out the Railroad Festival, check us out online. Tell them all the ways. You remember last week when you put me on the spot?
Yeah.
That was funny. I guess it was funnier to me because I was, it's one of those you had to be there kind of moments. I was sitting here. I was really tired. It was late at night. I had a beer buzz. And he's just like, at random, he's like, tell everybody how they can listen to it. And I'm like, I don't know. I want to listen to this.
That was good, though. I mean, and for you to leave it in the podcast.
Yeah, I used it as the intro.
Yeah, as soon as I heard it, I just busted out laughing. So we can be funny sometimes.
So anyway, let's ride off into the moonlight. It's like almost midnight, and we put out a Facebook or a tweet or something earlier saying that we would have this up by midnight. And in typical Kill Pop Culture fashion, we're just going to be a little bit late.
Just a little, but just hold your horses.
Hold them horses.
All right, so thanks again for listening.
We're gonna sign you off, letting you listen to Green River Killers, a song called "Tales from the Van." All right, see you guys next week. Next week we got Kim from 1817 Brewing Company gonna be here.
Yeah, Kim Coleman.
Yep, and I'm so looking forward to that. Been looking forward to it for a long time. So be sure to tune in next week for that. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Mean it.
Realizing I was something that I swear that I was not.